Welcome to DevOps and Docker Talk. I'm your host, Brett Fisher. I'm a Docker captain, a cloud native ambassador, and I guess I should call myself a YouTuber, a podcaster, and a course creator on everything cloud native DevOps. I make stuff every week for you. This week, I'm in the studio with my co-host, Nirmal Mehta of AWS, for our special guest and longtime friend, Phil Estes, also of AWS. By the way, both of these guys spend all their time on container-related things at AWS, so you're in for quite a treat, as this is one where we will talk about Finch, a relatively new open source project from AWS to help package up all the best-of-breed container runtime tools for local container running on Mac and Windows. We've been talking with Phil about this show for months, and now that Finch has come to Windows, we thought it was the best time to clue you in as to why AWS created the Finch project and what it does. You've probably heard of Containerd, the most popular container runtime on the planet, and BuildKit, the best way, well, in my opinion, to build container images. Those two work hand in hand in Docker and many other container tools. But you might not have heard of Nerd Control or Lima, which are also open source tools that work with Containerd and BuildKit to help you run containers locally in a virtual machine. Well, AWS had the idea of making an easy installer for these four tools, and thus Finch was born. I should point out that Finch is not meant to be a replacement of your existing way to run containers. Finch and the tools it installs are a bit of a minimum feature set, if you will, and more focused on providing people the exact tools AWS uses in its container platforms, mainly Containerd and BuildKit, which are everywhere in AWS. Rather than building something that's feature equivalent to other local container solutions like Docker Desktop and Rancher Desktop, Finch keeps it simple and does the bare minimum. Still, I think Finch is an interesting option if you just want an easily installable and minimal way to build and run local containers at the command line with no GUI, no high-end fancy features, pure open source, and just on Mac and Windows, at least at this point. This is an edited version of our weekly YouTube live show that you can join and ask our guests questions on Thursdays at 1 p.m. U.S. Eastern at brett.live. So please enjoy this episode with our friend Phil Estes of AWS on the Finch project. Hello.
Hey.
We got a relatively new tool, Finch.
Yes.
We got Phil, one of our friends, on to talk about it. Hey, Phil.
Hey, welcome.
The three of us actually live within 3 hours of each other and yep. In Virginia, North Carolina, and in America. And we only see each other when we go to KubeCon or DockerCon or Linux Summit or whatever, or Raleigh Velocity or DevOps Days Raleigh. Like, you know, there's that term fair weather friends, but we're more like fair conference friends or something. Right. There's a wittier thing there that I'm not getting. I'll find that here in a second when I'm not busy talking. So in case you didn't know why Phil's here, like what's going on? Okay, so first off, the two guys both work at AWS, and Phil is a principal engineer, and he is involved with the Finch project, which we're going to focus the whole show on what is French, thinking about Paris. What is
in
Finch?
Paris, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. French is in Paris. Finch is a bird, and it's also a container runtime tool. So we're going to get into that because you may have some questions on why Finch exists and why is AWS making it as open source and all those things. We're going to get into that. But I just want to point out that like we all met early days containers, 2016-ish, 2015, somewhere in that time frame. Mm-hmm. At DockerCon, we were all put into the captain's program because we wouldn't stop talking about Docker. And we were super early fans. Phil actually was a very early committer. And I always like to promote his user namespaces, which nowadays doesn't get a lot of headlines, but user namespaces is still awesome. Still something that I advocate for. In fact, recently, we had a security vulnerability that I was very interested in Docker and sort of in Containerd world. We had some vulnerabilities and I was very interested in user namespaces and how it could limit that stuff. And nobody was really talking about user namespaces as an option for it. So it was interesting that I feel like I need to bring user namespaces back and like shout it from the rooftops. It's something that people should implement. So yep. Phil is an early maintainer, early committer to the program and has been involved with containers ever since. So I hope I accurately described your background, Phil, but I feel like you're an original container guy. So it's great to have you here.
Yeah. No, it's awesome to be here. Awesome to be among friends. It's pretty crazy how far back in the container world we go. But yeah, lots of fun times being Docker captains, and definitely the early Docker cons were kind of the top of the heap as far as events.
We learned so much from each other over the years, and it's been awesome getting to know you over the years, Phil, and glad you're on the show today. And let's get into, so what's this finch thing about?
Yeah.
That's a bird.
Yeah, it is a bird.
I am very interested in the origin story of Finch. So
yeah,
I think I'm allowed to share some of those details. First of all, it might make sense to back up just to hear and say that, you know, one of the reasons I went to AWS 3 years ago was a pretty significant investment they were making into Containerd, which was a project I was already helping maintain. Fargate switch from using the full Docker engine to using Containerd. And hopefully, you know, a lot of your listeners are well aware that Containerd is a piece of what you can think of as kind of a stack of software that even Docker Desktop, you know, uses to run your containers and manage the lifecycle. So Docker, Containerd, RunC, these are all components of that stack. And Containerd was spun out from Docker, contributed to the CNCF. And just like I was maintaining Docker, many Docker employees were helping in those early days and still do maintain Containerd as sort of a more kind of common layer component that doesn't have all the features of the full Docker engine and client. And so it's kind of a perfect fit for if you're going to operate a service like AWS Fargate or EKS, where you just need a container runtime to be able to handle these lifecycle management tasks of starting and stopping and removing containers and pulling images. So yeah, I came to AWS. They were making a big investment in Containerd. They had built a container runtime team that still exists today. And I was excited to continue my work on Containerd in the, you know, under the auspices of AWS's investment and services that are built around that same set of technologies. Out of that, within the first year I was here, there was just this interest of like, you know, hey, we're building our services around Containerd. We have a lot of customers who both use our services, but when their developers are developing, you know, wouldn't it be interesting to have them using the same technology we use on the server side on the client? You know, when they're building, it's using Containerd plus BuildKit in that case, or when they're pulling an image, it's using Containerd's resolver to actually pull that image. It's the same code that we use on the back end of Fargate or EKS.
Right.
So these ideas came out of like, hey, we're building on a set of open source components. So is Docker. So are other options in the space. So the conceptual idea was, you know, let's build a client around these same technologies that has the comfortable command line that we've all learned from, you know, the massive adoption of Docker and the Docker client and the Docker command set. And then, you know, a lot of worlds were coming together at that time. Akihiro Suda, who's been an amazing co-maintainer of multiple projects and created a ton of his own, was also a Containerd maintainer, also a Docker committer. He came up with NerdCTL as a Docker-like client for Containerd. So he started to assemble some of these pieces together. And of course, if you think about the developer population, you look at Stack Overflow or any of these surveys, most developers that need to build Linux containers are not on Linux. I mean, we're all still waiting for the year of Linux on the desktop, and it, you know, maybe it's still coming. But, you know, most of us are on Macs, and there's some developers on Windows. And so
I'm on Solaris. I'm on Solaris. So, you know, a Solaris laptop.
So Akihiro created the kind of final piece of that puzzle in Lima, which is now a CNCF project. He donated it. And so now you have Lima, NerdCTL, Containerd, BuildKit. And out of this, you basically have the ability to run a Docker command set on your Mac, laptop, desktop, whatever, and drive the building, running, and interactions with Linux containers. So again, that's not new. Docker Desktop does that. Rancher Desktop does that. Others do that. Podman. But for us, it was building around the same set of technologies. And for us, using these components that already existed, we were able to contribute. You know, if you look at AWS contributions to NerdCTL over the last year and a half, or to Lima, we added a driver for Windows WSL2, which is kind of our more recent news around Finch now being available on Windows. We're able not just to like go in our own direction and build a completely new thing. We're able to actually contribute to the projects we already cared about and then build basically an install wrapper and some of our own. You know, we want it to be super easy to install, easy to upgrade, things that the core components necessarily weren't focused on. You know, right. Lima is able to be consumed by Rancher Desktop, by us, by others, and we're just adding more of kind of the user capabilities around it. So yeah, that's kind of a long origin story. Of course, naming is one of the two hard things in computer science, and I don't remember what the other one is. So
the other one doesn't matter.
Yeah, the other one doesn't matter.
Or maybe DNS. maybe.
But we came up with probably 70 to 80 name ideas, and some were technology focused, like what would you call something that sounds like containery. And then we had another list that was all just mostly bird names, I think. And the cool backstory there is that there's a VP at Amazon who's an amazing bird watcher, takes amazing photographs with his son as well. And, you know, we knew he would love, you know, a bird name. So kind of that ended up, you know, we came down to Finch is just, it's easy. It's single syllable, easy to type. And yeah, so that's how we ended up at Finch.
That's awesome. Real quick, can you describe the real briefly those different components like Lima, Nerdcuddle, Containerd, and then BuildKit, and just real quick how they all tie together?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I'll start with Containerd because obviously Containerd is essentially that container engine. It gets a little complicated because Docker is also, you can think of it as the Docker engine. And Docker mm-hmm. does integrate with Containerd. So anyway.
We don't have a real good definition, by the way, of container runtime like that. Like we call lots of things a container runtime and we just sort of a generic label. It's not, yeah, we got container runtimes running container runtimes, which run a container runtime that runs your app. Like
you should probably get better around figuring that, like really nailing that down. No.
There are definitely people in this 10-year-old community who want to be more pedantic about what run C is that a container executor? It's not a run, you know, I don't know. I have never, you're right. I think it'd be helpful for those outside our community if we had better definitions. So if you think of Containerd as the piece of software driving, you know, driven by an API, if you want to think of it that way, start my container, stop my container, pull this image. NerdCTL, you can think of as the client. It talks to Containerd. Okay. Over its Go SDK API, and it's providing the Docker-like command line so that you can drive Containerd with all the commands and flags you already know. And, you know, that NerdCTL command page, there's a very detailed, the maintainers of NerdCTL are keeping a very up-to-date detailed version of like, hey, here's a Docker command that isn't implemented yet, or hey, this one's implemented, but it doesn't have this flag yet, or this feature isn't available. So, you know, if you get stuck, you can go look at NerdCTL's command documentation. But the intent is that at some point, you know, NerdCTL will have parity with the full Docker command set. And NerdCTL, one of the reasons Akihiro has stated and talked about his reason for creating it is, now we can access features that are coming in Containerd that maybe Docker hasn't provided access to, or right. So everything around lazy right. loading images, which are now coming to Docker Engine with the Containerd integration, but you know up until now have not been accessible. So the idea is NerdCTL gives you that same command set, but then allows you to access features like lazy loading snapshotters or layer encryption is turned on in NerdCTL. So the NerdCTL is that integration point of here's the client that's going to talk to Containerd and drive its feature set. Lima wraps all that in a VM so that you end up with a Linux VM with a small OS image that has NerdCTL, Containerd, and all those pieces installed. And so now you have an easy place on Mac OS originally, but now also available on Windows with the WSL2 driver to sort of wrap that up so you don't have to think about, oh, I need this command socket open between Mac and the Linux VM and how to handle the VM lifecycle of starting and stopping the VM. So Lima handles all that for you.
Okay.
And then the other piece I haven't mentioned is Buildkit, because Containerd is just the runtime component. Buildkit is built on Containerd to actually handle, you know, Docker file parsing and converting that into an image and pushing that image to a registry. So Buildkit is a necessary component so that, like, the nerdctl build command actually has the capability to go build a container right. image from a Docker file. So those are that's kind of the high level component set that makes up any Lima, nerdctl, Containerd, but Finch is a customized version of all those same components.
Yeah. And that's a good one of those things too. I was actually seeing if I could quickly draw this. Like the relationships of a lot of these things.
There was a chart on one of the, maybe on a nerdctl page.
If you go to runfinch.com, I'm pretty sure there's an architectural diagram in the docs, Finch architecture. So yeah, that's what we just talked through. And I, you know, glossed over the fact that obviously the VM has a Linux kernel. Lima has some components that's obviously managing a hypervisor driver, which is by default QMU, but there have also been advancements there that you can use Apple virtualization. So, you know, VZ-based hypervisor. But yeah, so that's essentially what you get when you install Finch.
So we should point out real quick, like, technically we can all install and run Buildkit directly, Containerd directly, but they weren't intended for that, right? So like one of the things is, like, you can go into Containerd and you can actually find that there's a utility, but it's not user-friendly. There's a lot of gaps in what you might expect it to do, because if you're thinking of it like as a Docker replacement. And I think for years now, we've had Containerd. Buildkit's been around for 4 or 5 years at least. And they've existed, but if we think of like Rancher desktop, Docker desktop, they all kind of come with this stuff bundled in. And so we think of container image building and then container running from that image. We all kind of tend to think of these things as the same thing, or like they're all in the same tool. They're one of the same. They're two sides of the same coin. But the reality is underneath is that these are separate products and separate binaries and separate repos managed by separate maintainers, right? Maintainer teams.
Yep. Yep.
And Nerd Control we all got excited a couple of years ago when that showed up, because it gave us a little bit more human friendly ability for managing them. And now, like, I love how you're describing Finch as like this wrapper. It's an installation, updating, and management wrapper with other features in it. But for those that, like, there are already people running Nerd Control with these other utilities. And it's sort of like, to me, it's like local container hard mode a little bit. Like, it's the nerd mode of, I don't want a installer that manages versions and binary relationships and all that. I want to do it all myself. Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like to me when you're, you know, downloading Nerd Control binaries from GitHub and making sure that you have Buildkit, which, I mean, you can get them from Brew and, you know, some other package managers, but it was always, you had to really know a lot about what's going on in between these different products, which is not what most people care about when they just want to run a container, right? They just want to build it. They want to run it. They don't really care. So I wanted to make sure that, I'm not sure if we made this point, but these are all the same things. A lot of these things like Buildkit and Containerd and the RunC that Containerd runs, like, these are all things that Docker Desktop and the other ones do. You're just providing sort of a more native or more purist approach, maybe, or a minimal approach. I'm not sure how we should frame that. But, and this is all purely open source, right? Because all these components are open source, and then Finch is open source on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was one of our sort of primary tenets, is that we wanted to do all this in the open. We had customers, you know, asking us basically for that paradigm. Like, my developers, I just want them to use open source stuff. We like the CNCF. We like the projects there. You know, can you offer something that's sort of in that space? And, you know, we've very clearly had a long-term partnership with Docker. I tell people all the time, if you want Docker's UI with plugins and all the capabilities of Docker Desktop, like, you should use Docker Desktop, because Finch is not going to provide that. You know, Finch is not moving in that direction. Finch is an open source core, just like Containerd has sort of always had the same, what you just said. Like, it was started not with the intent, like, oh, it's going to be easy just to drop this in and dump Docker and start using Containerd. it's a different layer of the stack. And as people have desired to have some of that more user-friendly capability, other pieces have been added, like NerdCTL and others. But yeah, in that vein, I should have mentioned, like, I think one of the things I've learned launching an open source project is, like, you know, it's not build it, they will come in open source. Like, it's hard to build community and get people interested in contributing. But we made sure that Finch, you know, there's no secret sauce that you have to be an AWS employee to make a pull request or none of those. There's no limitations if you want to become a maintainer of Finch. Like, we have our open source program office would allow, you know, we created the project with that in mind, that it would be a fully open source community project. And so I'll be honest and say we're not there yet, because like I said, I'm learning the hard way that, like, you don't just plop on a GitHub and people just flock to your project and start helping maintain it. But hopefully our interactions have shown people that we're responsive and wanting to help them, you know, learn how to contribute to the project. And but yeah, it's been good. We've had some good contributions and looking to see that part of it grow.
So one thing that I wanted to kind of put a finer point on is there's these four underlying open source projects that Finch is wrapping. And each of those projects have their own roadmaps, the own things that they're innovating on, bugs that they're fixing. They're moving at different speeds in terms of, like, new features and functionality. And one thing that I think you're trying to do with the Finch project is make sure that there's a stable set of the versions of those tools that work properly together. And also being able to pull from, hey, there's, like, these new features coming in Nerd Control or Nerd Cuddle, or there's these new things in Container D that might be you want to surface in Finch as, like, a best practice or something that folks can utilize, and then also drive those features back in those underlying projects. Because I think a lot of folks don't realize how much those projects are still very active, and there's, like, new things being developed all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like containers aren't, like, a solved, like, Linux, you know, and this is even true for the Linux kernel, which continues to see innovation year over year. I think we often don't realize that there's still a lot of changes, a lot of things that are being explored and performance gains and issues being solved. And they're not slow projects anymore. They're not, like, stable in that sense. So that's one thing that Finch kind of brings to the table.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And what I'm really proud of the team. They've done some cool things early on. Like, you know, the Docker command line obviously does change over time. New flags get added. And they created end-to-end tests for all the commands that we support. So if anything ever changes, like, we get a break in CI. And so, yeah, having that, like, one of our tenets, again, is that Finch users should have a stable, you know, command. If you think of the command line as an API, you don't want it to break on you between two, you know, a minor version fix. And so, you know, we've added some of that stricture to, like, our layer, so that if you use Finch, even if, you know, at some other layer something changes, we're trying to make sure, like, we would go, if that was a NerdCTL, like, accidental change of, like, how a flag is being parsed, you know, we can go back to that community and contribute the fix or help figure out what happened. And so, like, with new features, you know, container image signing is something we've sort of wanted forever. And there were some early attempts with, you know, Docker had the V1 of, and I just blanked on the technology name. It'll come to me in a minute. But yeah, in recent years, finally, communities have come back around with Cosign and Sigstore and Notary. Yeah. So Notation is the new tool. Notary V1 is what I couldn't remember a minute ago. But we actually contributed these commands and flags to NerdCTL and then revved Finch with a new version of NerdCTL when that was merged. And so, yeah, I mean, definitely our model is not that, oh, use Finch because it has these cool new commands. We're going to contribute that to the layers below us and then consume that back into Finch. So we've done that with signing. We did it with lazy load snapshotter integration. So you can pull and push Sochi images from both NerdCTL because we contributed there, and you can also do it within Finch. But yeah, right. So, you know, these things like that, there are always new features coming, new capabilities, new integrations. And we're trying to make sure that, you know, we offer that in a stable, kind of reasonable way that customers can depend on Finch, users can depend on it as a stable tool.
Yeah, I like it. We have a great question I want to ask, but before that, I have a couple of questions for you just to clarify some of these things. I was trying to think of an analogy for Finch, because a lot of people are going to look at Finch and think, well, they're already running containers. Finch isn't going to be their first day in containers usually, right? Like they're going to experience Docker first, probably, maybe Podman in rare cases. Maybe they're more interested in Kubernetes. So real quick, Kubernetes is not a part of this, right? This is all about a single container runtime for local use, not a Kubernetes cluster or a Kubernetes node?
Correct. Finch, the command line, has no integration with the CRI. It doesn't provide like a CRI interface for Kubernetes. Now, for users of Kind, so Kubernetes in Docker, mm-hmm. a popular project, I have mm-hmm. a PR that is about to be merged that makes sure you can use Kind with NerdCTL or Finch. It already had Podman integration. So if you're one of those people who are like, hey, I do like to run like a local Kubernetes cluster, Finch or Docker or Podman don't provide that necessarily out of the box, but Kind wrap, you know, will basically run a control plane inside a container using your chosen container runtime, and support mm-hmm. for NerdCTL and Finch is coming in the next release.
Nice. Now, awesome. Next question is I was trying to think of an analogy the closest one I came up with was, to me, if this one sounds good, is like the difference between Finch and Docker Desktop is like the difference between Notepad as a code editor and a full-fledged Visual Studio IDE or a JetBrains IDE. Like I'm trying to figure out, both of them do the same thing. Finch is more, it doesn't have a lot of these, it doesn't have Scout, it doesn't have cloud builders or a GUI for looking at your containers and looking at logs of the containers in a GUI. It doesn't have extensions or any of that sort of stuff that Docker Desktop has. So, and it doesn't have Kubernetes clusters. So it almost, to me, it feels like it's the original, like as simple as we can make it when you're on Mac and Windows and you don't have access to a Linux kernel. Because it installs these tools and stuff like that. Okay. And I already forgot my question. I'll come back to it. Does Finch manage the VMs as long as it is wrapping Lima, or is it mainly for container stuff? I think the question is more about like, can you run regular VMs in Lima through Finch? Is that maybe what?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's kind of the root of the question. So yeah, Lima, the tool itself, obviously is more of a Swiss Army knife that, you know, if you liked it and cared nothing about containers, you could use it as a VM manager, you know, for having different versions of Fedora or Ubuntu or something. So yeah, that's a possible use case of Lima, not really the intended use, but it's a possible use case. Finch is not really going to expose that to you. Finch is, you know, we've wrapped Lima CTL, which you can see in the Getting Started guide, you know, it has its own little control tool. Finch is going to wrap that for you and give you a few simple commands like VM start, VM status, but we're not going to like provide a VM management interface to let you use Finch to do kind of generic VM management. Mm-hmm. It's really just meant for that one VM that we create to run Containerd and NerdCTL and the other components in.
But it's still putting these binaries on there, right? So I still use Lima control?
Yeah.
Yeah, if, you know, there's a potential break glass, like I need to get in the VM and see why things aren't working. I can't remember if we put that somewhere in our docs. It's one of these debated things, like how much do you want users to know the way to circumvent, like, you know, right. your shiny surface area that you've given them. But yeah, you can, the Lima CTL binary is there. If you know how to point it at the Finch, the right directory where the VM is, then you can use Lima CTL commands to your heart's content.
Very cool. Would you say that someone who's today using Nerd Control, or they've used it in the past, they heard about it, you know, I mean, it was a big, people were talking about it a lot when it was launched. Would you say that for those people, Finch is like, they should just use Finch, and Finch wraps and installs all these things as well, and it gives you sort of a superset of what you would get with nerd control out of the box? Is that how you would look at it?
I guess it kind of depends what they're... So nerdctl is a Linux native command. So if you know, if you grab a VM from any provider, you grab an EC2 instance from AWS, obviously you can install nerdctl and containerd. And actually nerdctl has a nice packaged, I think it's nerdctl-full, and it's like all the dependencies are there for you. You know, Akihiro has packaged that in his release binaries. So yeah, if you have a Linux system and you know you're using nerdctl, the only reason Finch might be interesting to you is that if you want that same command set driving that same set of components on Mac or Windows, then yeah, you should use Finch because it's going to map exactly to your experience using nerdctl on a Linux system.
Right. Okay. So if you were someone that was using nerd control and Lima command lines before with Finch, I'm going to be spending more of my time in the Finch CLI, right? So
yeah. Yeah.
I would.
Right.
Yeah. And presumably those would be easier commands maybe, or shorter, simpler commands.
Yeah. You don't have to do the pass through via Lima to nerdctl. That's done for you and the output is brought back from the VM to you. And, you know, things like your home directory is shared into the VM, so you can edit code on your Mac and do Finch run and see what just happened. You know, this is similar things to what Docker Desktop provided early on with file sharing between the VM and your host system.
I was looking at the install documentation and one of the questions. So it started on Mac, right? That was like a year and a half ago when it was announced. It was announced for Mac. I mean, Linux desktop people already have easy mode anyway because they can do all these things pretty natively. It's the Mac and Windows people that need the help, right? So you started on Mac and recently, within the last month, right, the announcement of Windows support?
Yeah. Yep. So the work was completed mostly late last year. We had a developer who worked in the Lima upstream community. So anyway, much of the work to actually make it, you know, to make it viable, to have Lima have a driver for WSL2, and then obviously some of the changes in Finch to drive a WSL2-based VM and package that for Windows. So a lot of that work was done, you know, late the second half of last year. And then, you know, you go through various reviews to make sure everything's ready. And so the blog post just came out, I think, end of January or January 31st. So, and that was the day we released 1.1, Finch version 1.1. And so that's the one that if you go to the downloads page, there's now both the package for macOS, but also the installer for Windows. It's been something we've been working on and planning on for a while and is now available.
We had a good question. I mentioned something about it, you know, Linux desktop people already have easy mode because everything is native there, but we still have Rancher desktop, Docker desktop on Linux for Linux desktop. Like we still have these installers and managers. So my reply was simply that I think there's a use case for it, right? Like you could manage the installation of the other tools. You can make it easier command line if you don't or aren't able to run Docker desktop. I'm curious real quick. So it looks like on Windows, I was just reading the documentation while you were talking about it. It's actual standard Windows exe installers. Cause I was kind of wondering, like, are you installing it in the WSL, like doing apt commands in an Ubuntu WSL VM, or are you doing this on the Windows side? And it looks like it's a actual Windows install.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. So obviously there's the Windows side components because you want the Finch .exe. You want that binary to be available on the Windows side. We still have some things we're trying to enhance. You know, if you look at, I think Podman was working on this on their Windows version or variant recently. You know, there's all these modes with WSL2. Like I can use the Finch binary from a Windows command prompt and it magically uses my WSL2 Linux distribution to like run the commands and do the work, like build the container image. But if you have another WSL2 distribution you love and you've already got all your cool Linuxy commands there, like that's a bit trickier because now you have a VM that's running Finch and containerd and all those things that's in a different distribution. So we have some engineers working on the sharing. You know, again, you can go look at Podman has a doc on this and Docker does this properly. basically you need to like share these, the command structure across the other distros so that you can drive Finch from your favorite Ubuntu WSL2 instance. Right.
Yeah, if you want to use Kali and Ubuntu, you can use them both at the same time or whatever with Finch and it's, it's like shared mounts or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly. So we're working on that. That was not part of our released 1.1 and now 1.2 is out, I think, or 1.1.2. So we're working on that aspect. But yeah, I mean, other than that, the expectation is we hope for both kind of that pure Windows developer versus the WSL2 Linux guru, like that they both have the same sort of access to Finch capabilities.
What's the multi-arch story? Build kits there. So if you're running on like a M1, M-series Mac, Finch, you can build multi-arch builds and all that jazz because of build kit, or does Finch help with any of that?
Yeah, so it's very similar to what some of the other offerings, again, because BuildKit has this native support and because QMU is there, you can specify --- platform on both build or pull or run. And so on an M1 Mac, you could build an 64-bit Intel image by, naturally it would build an ARM64 Linux image. You can run either one. You can obviously, publish those to registries so that you can then go to like a Graviton instance and run the ARM64 image you just built. So yeah, all the same multi-arch support is there. We did get a request that, Docker added the manifest command years ago, which is kind of a funny story in that I had just written manifest tool, which was kind of my early attempt at having a tool to take disparate images you've built for different platforms and combine them into a multi-arch image. Another IBMer at the time, Christy, who did a lot of amazing work in upstream and Docker, she took my code and made the PR to create the Docker manifest command. So it's actually the source of manifest, the early manifest tool that became the Docker manifest command. But nerdctl doesn't have that command, and therefore Finch doesn't. We just had a user ask, hey, where's the manifest command? So I think that's an area that we can improve nerdctl and add that capability there and then have it in Finch as well. So that means, if I built a Windows image, a ARM64 image, a Raspberry Pi 32-bit ARM image, I can use the Docker manifest command, allows you to combine those all under one namespace, a name and a tag.
Awesome. What are some areas that you're potentially excited about, like where Finch is going? Where do you think things are going in that community? What are some innovation features, et cetera, that, give us a lay of land for the next year or so, if you can?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So I will come back to what Brett mentioned a few minutes ago. We do have Finch for Linux on the roadmap, just because it is a curious case to like, now you've created something that people have in Mac and Windows, and when they're on Linux, they're like, hey, I want to use the same thing. Like I've written this doc for my team and all the commands in it say Finch run or Finch build. And so just for parity, like it does kind of make sense to go ahead and have a Linux variant of Finch just to cover those all three bases, so to speak. So that's on the roadmap. Although again,
Okay. I think I misspoke earlier that was actually a thing. So.
Yeah, it's not yet. Yeah. But now obviously the components are there because that's where they came from. They're all Linux, Linux projects. Yeah. So it is an interesting case. Like, do you want to isolate it the same on Linux that you do? Do you want to, like I believe Docker Desktop's choice is there is still a VM on Linux and it isolates Docker Engine and everything running. So you could have an installation of the real Docker Engine for Linux and you can have Docker Desktop for Linux and they don't have no interaction with each other. So we have those choices to make as we think about that. And if users have strong opinions, let us know in the GitHub repo. So there's that. The other roadmap items is we really do want a simple extensions framework. One of the things we've tried very hard is to make sure that Finch is not an AWS product. It doesn't take your AWS account ID to get started and there's no credit card. Mm-hmm. It is purely an open source project that works with any registry, works on any, you need no ties to AWS to use Finch. But of course, you know, we created a, at the behest, at least for one purpose, around customer requests who are big users of ECR and Fargate and EKS. And so thinking about having a pluggable place that says, hey, this was fun. I built this container. I ran it. Now it'd be cool to see it running on Fargate. And we have, obviously, we have to be careful because we don't want to step on the toes of other tools Amazon has created for those purposes. You know, what makes sense as an extension of Finch, for example, versus have people use Copilot, which is a really bad name nowadays because that means GitHub Copilot to most people. Anyway.
Or Microsoft Copilot. They've taken it. Yeah.
There's a lot of pilots out there.
Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of pilots. So
I always thought they should have called it Code Pilot. That was a name I thought would have been better instead of Copilot. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, one big fan in the chat there, Peter from Slim AI. We've talked to them. You know, they've written cool extensions for Docker Desktop, and we've talked to them about what would it look like to have Finch. You know, what would make the most sense for like extending Finch for things like Slim AI's toolkit or other people's open source scanners or, you know, plugins for, again, AWS, like make it super easy to look up your ECR registry, you know, what you've already published and what's there. So yeah, that's kind of a big area that we'd love to see. And it allows us to have a place to innovate from a company sense without touching Finch 4, which can remain fully open source, not tied to AWS. So yeah, that's kind of a big area that we see for this year.
Cool.
Very cool. And Solaris support. Solaris support's coming, right?
Yeah, Solaris, of course.
Okay. Yeah. All the OSs. Do we have any more questions, Brett?
We got a couple real quick. How Finch connects with Lima? Is it over Linux socket or something else?
Yeah. So again, Lima CTL already has like pass through into the VM. So we didn't have to write our own layer of talking into the guest agent. So we basically do command line pass through. Like the Finch command you type becomes a NerdCTL command that passes through Lima CTL. So they handle that socket pass through into the VM. NerdCTL is executed inside the VM. If there's output, that's obviously standard out, standard error will come back. And now Finch will present that back in your console back to you. So we don't, Finch itself has no extra, implementation of a socket pass-through because Lima already provides that with Lima CTL.
Cool. The other question we had was, that's a good one. I was actually looking it up in Brew to see if I could answer it for him. Will installing Finch via Brew cause issues with the current installation of Lima as Finch includes its own Lima executable?
Yeah. So kind of answered his own question there at the end. So we, not necessarily namespace, but because we install the Lima control executables, and we have our own custom directory for Finch. So for like your user data in the VM, there's no conflict. So you can have Lima installed and do brew install Finch, and it won't touch your Lima installation. It won't touch any VMs you've created with Lima CTL already. Will be when you type Finch VM init or start, it's going to use our, you know, it's going to prepend where we've installed those executables. So yeah, no conflict.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was looking at the brew commands that would allow, because you can kind of see dependencies in brew, and there for Finch, there's no dependencies listed. So it seems like it's an all-in package, which is why those packages are kind of big. I was noticing, especially for Mac, it was like 600 megs of stuff. So I was assuming that it was including everything. But it does a lot. Yeah, when it's just binary utilities, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, command line binary. It was an interesting decision early on. Like, do you try and just let, you know, the rest of the dependencies flow? Like if someone uses Brew, well, Brew has a ton of the, it has Lima, it has QMU, right. But it gets really interesting if any of those packages update and it breaks you. Anyway, so we had a debate early on and said, how about we just, we'll manage everyone's dependencies underneath our package on your behalf. And yeah, it makes for a bigger installation, but we can also be certain that doing a brew update isn't going to break Finch just because something, you know, something we depended on changed the way they operate or break something. So,
well, and a lot of us, especially that are playing with utilities like this, I mean, we've all probably got You know, I've got at least five different ways to run containers on my Mac right now, right? And if we all, if they were all trying to use single sourced binaries in a systems path that wasn't using the wonderful brew package namespacing, if you want to call it that, it, yeah, it would be a real headache because I've got Rancher desktop. I've already got context problems, right? Because Docker manages context for Kubernetes and Rancher manages it. I got Podman desktop. I've got multi-pass for VMs as well as Lima. Like there's just, I got a lot. And it's amazing how I, in almost all cases, I feel like you can run all these things side by side and it just doesn't, as long as you have enough RAM and CPU and storage, you can run all these things concurrently on, at least on a Mac. And it's pretty exciting because sometimes I just want to play with one and try and compare and contrast. And it's really cool when you can do that instead of messing with something else that already, I would hate for Finch to break something else just because you installed Finch and then it requires you to update something else that you didn't want to update or whatever. So.
Yeah, I on that vein, I can definitely not recommend installing all the code completion tools in VS Code at the same time. I was hoping they would like talk to each other and decide what to write, but
or at least tell you incompatibility, right? Like, are you sure you want to do this? There's this other one that matches that file type. I have that problem where I don't know, like something shows up in my editor and I don't know what extension is coming from. That's my VS Code problem. I got too many. And I've added, I thought I needed five markdowns because like one of them did list better than the other one. One did table of contents better than the other one. And then they're all overwriting each other and I don't even know which ones use.
At some point I had Kodi, Code Whisperer, Copilot. I think I tried a fourth one, but it was very interesting to have them all enabled at once.
So wrapping up, where do people go to get started with Finch? What do you do?
Yeah. Well, shout out to our amazing DA team because they created runfinch.com, I want to say in the fall last year. So it was always on the roadmap. Let's create a website. All the docs will be there, all the getting started. So that's a super easy place to start. It even has a cool reInvent talk from some guys building containers for AWS right on the front page. But yeah, no, that's a great starting point. If you're curious about GitHub, it has an easy link right there at the upper right just to jump right to the repo. So those are the two main places. We do have a channel on CNCF Slack, just easily titled Finch. So if you go to CNCF Slack, go to the Finch channel, our whole team hangs out there. Every once in a while, Corey Quinn pops up and asks a question, so that makes it fun. He's our premier user, Finch. So yeah, those are three, probably the three best places to find us. And as always, it's an open source project. If you find something, I saw one of your Discord users had already bumped into something with one of the --env commands. So hopefully we can figure that out. But yeah.
Very cool. The last thing I wanted to mention for everyone is, go try Finch. But if you're trying to figure out what all the features are and what matters, I wouldn't say this is final yet, but I have a spreadsheet. Those of you that have listened to the show know about it. We call it the DD alt, Docker Desktop Alternates. So it's like 17 different ways to run containers on Mac or Windows. So if you're interested in sort of it tries to be helping you make decision matrix, if you will, of the different various ways. And I'm going to pull Phil aside and ask him if he can help out filling some of this in. So that way, a lot of our community is trying to figure out which tool is their next tool. And I want to help them without having to do like this literal comparison blog post that I constantly update. So hopefully we'll get some help on that.
Cool.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much, Phil, for being here. Thanks, Normal, for being here yet again, yes. Co-host. We appreciate everybody. By the way, follow Phil on the interwebs, like he's out there.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.